I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to The Memo for this Thursday, November the 3rd, 2016. The world did not end as we thought
Your
it might.
Your life nearly did.
Well, see, that's why you don't need to believe in stupid things like jinxes and superstitions.
Don't worry about jinxes. I just worry about you mouthing off a little bit too much yesterday.
Whatever. Hey, I got the drama that I wanted, and I got the Cubs win, which I was hoping for as well.
I don't think you were. I think you were rallying against them.
Listen, I'll admit, when Rodgy Davis hit that home run to tie it, I was like, holy crap. It's about to happen again to the Cubs. And by the and then the 10th inning after the delay, believe me, I was pulling hard for Chicago, okay? I was. And so Derek Russell here, a Cubs fan, is very happy.
Other people in the room were receiving text messages that were plotting out your demise. That's all I'll say.
I was going to say you were pulling hard for the Cubs because you knew it was going to happen to you if they didn't win.
Torches, exactly. Pitchforks, the whole nine yards were
coming to
your
Derek
door.
And I were definitely blaming it on you when he hit that home run.
And they would have shown up at my house at midnight.
There's a video outside Wrigley when the score goes up for the home run, and everybody just starts just losing it. But I swear, if you listen to it just right, it goes, "Brad,
curse that journalist in Tupelo, Mississippi." They all listened to our podcast yesterday.
It's all your fault. Justin Whitmore is joining us in the studio.
Another
this
Cubs
morning.
Fan.
Hello.
He's here to kill you, too.
Hey, all's well that ends well, gentlemen.
And no matter how late it ends.
Could you have asked for a more dramatic game? You couldn't have scripted that, literally.
I was good until the tarp came out, and then I was like, no, God's just trolling us.
I was hoping that would happen, because I saw earlier in the day the forecast was, if this game drags on too long,
there will be
rain.
They moved it up an hour
no,
anyway.
Not this Isn't game.
That was game two.
Was that the second one? I thought they did last night, too.
No, but they it started at 7-ish.
I was personally cheering for 108-0, but
well, the Cubs so. Fans themselves didn't, or at least they say they didn't want all the drama, and I get that, okay, because it's hard on the nerves, okay, and on the heart, the old ticker there. I hope nobody suffered a heart attack.
Stomach too.
But I saw the forecast, and they were saying, if this game goes too late, there's going to be some rain coming in. And it did. It was like a 17-minute delay, so it wasn't that long. I personally think that might have helped the Cubs.
It felt like an hour.
It might have helped the Cubs because they were kind of reeling still a little bit after that home run. And
they had Justin, you may be like, give me more details, but they were talking, they had a players-only meeting. Hayward called one or something, maybe?
Jason Hayward, that sounded
really cool.
Jason Hayward, who contributed something at least last night.
Right. He had struggled all year, really, and even in the playoffs and the World Series, but it was nice to see that they credited him for that and bringing everybody together.
So. Yeah. And, another thing I'll say on that, too, we talked about this yesterday's podcast, but, talking about that moment, when the game got tied, and in fact, the Indians manager I heard also talk about it in the post game about how a lot of teams would have folded, and the Cubs with their history, people talked about, when the little thing happened and it would kind of lead to greater chaos. But I thought that one of the impressive things to me about this Cubs team is whenever they faced adversity, they really seemed to not let it get to them. And that was what happened again last night.
Exactly what happened last night.
I think it was Chris Bryant that said it earlier in the playoffs, said that, most of these guys are too young to worry about any of that stuff anyway. I mean, most of the roster is under 25 years old. 26 years old, so I don't think, I think they're just out there playing.
Yeah.
So I think that might have actually helped, that
I
they
think
were
so.
A younger team.
But you had the old guy, and that was probably my favorite part of the game, David Ross. I don't know, was that his final at-bat? Because he was pulled from the game.
It was.
So his final major league at-bat, he hits a home run in Game 7, which proved very crucial because that made it 6-3. And then they came back and tied it 6-6. If he didn't hit that, and if things still played out the same way, Indians probably going to win, so... That was cool to see the old catcher, and he had a little trouble getting over the dugout railing at the end of the game. He kind of, everybody's jumping over and leaping. He's like climbing over, yeah. his old man catcher legs.
Well, he took that ball to the face.
Yeah, that
too,
was my, yeah, that was
fell down. And, he was struggling out there a little bit at times. Got yeah. the job done.
And then Ben Zobrist got MVP, which was well deserved. I thought you could have made a case for Aroldis Chapman, even though he gave up the home run. I mean, this was his third consecutive game to pitch the closer. Threw a lot of pitches. A lot of people are not. We're kind of wondering about some of the moves Joe Maddon made there late in the game. Again, all's well that ends well, fellas. Just like he drew it up. But Chapman did awfully well. Those, I mean, they don't get there without him in the games 5 and 6. And he ended up getting the win, I think, last night.
I was trying to keep an eye on Chicago Scanner on Twitter, which
yeah,
it's hard to figure out if that's just a normal activity or if that's from, you know, celebration. But either way.
Well, I'm just glad Justin didn't get arrested for running down the street in his boxers yelling and screaming.
No, so.
We don't know what happened between 1 a.m. and 8 a.m.
I had big plans for celebrating, but then after the game ended, all my energy was completely drained.
Welcome to your 30s, Justin.
If it had stayed 5-1, then celebration probably would have been a little different, but...
I texted him, if you want to go burn a couch, I'm with you.
Let's go burn
Start
some couches.
Tipping a car over. There's one back behind the journal. We'll just go light it up.
We can do that. We can get our celebrating out today now that I'm rested.
We talked about the game specifically, but I mean, I think also, of course, there's so many people today are talking about the Cubs and their win. I mean, we've got two big Cubs fans here with us that I know you guys have kind of suffered with it through the years. And I know, Justin, you've watched every game this year. I mean, just kind of... I don't know. I mean, kind of what was that moment like for you guys?
Really, it kind of took a minute to sink in. I think that I realized it more when we got the 8th run, when we got the 2-run lead in the top of the 10th. I thought we had a pretty good shot to win it. So it was starting to sink in then. And then, of course, Cleveland gave us another scare in the bottom. So it kind of... The way the game played out, I never really got to sit down and say, "Hey, we actually won it." Until they actually showed they showed two commercials after the game ended. One about a little kid playing baseball by himself as pretending to be the Cubs, and then the second one they showed an old Harry Caray Budweiser commercial. Mm-hmm. and when that Harry Caray's the reason that I'm a Cubs fan. I started when I was really little, and I just like listening to him. Call games and he drew me in, and I actually got the chance to meet him when I was in third grade. Went from Birmingham to Chicago, me and my parents and my grandfather. We went down to the field after batting practice before one of the games, and Harry Caray was on the field and walking around meeting and greeting people. My grandfather called over to him and said, "You know, Harry, come over here," and he came over. And my grandfather said, "This kid came all the way from Birmingham, Alabama to get your autograph." And Harry said, "I don't care if he came from 3 blocks down the street, I'll give him my autograph." And then, you know, so seeing him again was kind of what made me realize it emotionally that, hey, we actually won this. I was born in 84, so, you know, the 108 years doesn't really apply to me. Mine's really about 25 years of suffering. so most of that suffering being in the 03 series. That was right. The one that really got me. And, you know, a couple of years we won the division back-to-back and got swept in the first round. You know, I don't think those teams were realistic, you know, contenders. But
so you don't remember the 84 team that was really good?
I don't.
Yeah, but... And you have a lot of Cubs fans in the area. I would say probably Braves and Cardinals would probably be the two favorite teams around here, but the Cubs would be a very close third just because mainly of Harry Caray, WGN, you know, right. growing up.
The national presence they right. had for such a long time.
Exactly. So a lot of Cubs fans in the area that are very happy today.
That's unfortunate.
And Derek Russell showing us a picture of someone who got a Cleveland Indians champions tattoo. This is why you wait until you actually win it. They probably got that after they went up 3-1, didn't they?
That's unfortunate.
Well.
The best thing I saw all night, of course, the internet just makes... Internet ruins a lot of things, but it also makes things a lot more fun.
Twitter is great.
We probably wouldn't be able to survive this current election had it not been for the internet. But there was a vine outside Wrigley, and somebody had replaced the marquee with...
With what?
Cleveland blew a 3-1 lead. Scrolling across with the entire audience out there singing Go Cubs Go. I told Justin, I went back after it was all over with and they had cut to local programming. I was like, I just need to make sure that actually happened. I rewound and watched the 9th and the 10th again. I'm not quite sure that all actually just went down.
Can you relive that for
I have the whole game on DVR, and I'm sure I'll watch it again at some point, but not anytime soon.
No, you need a break after that. I'm
going to burn that to disk and keep it.
Yeah, I'll find a way to keep it.
So. I don't blame you. Yeah, and I'm sure you'll buy the World Series DVD set that MLB will put out. I bet they should do a little extra special something for this one, because I've got like the one they made for the Cardinals back in 2006, I think it was.
I went ahead and ordered my helmet phone from Sports Illustrated.
Cubs helmet phone.
They used to have those Sports Illustrated championship packages they would always send out.
So. The pullover fleece, too.
All right.
For when it's 90 outside.
We could probably talk about this all day long because I'm a huge baseball fan, and I know you guys love the Cubs and love baseball. But I guess we do have other things to talk about on the show today. I guess. I mean, we don't have to. We just talk baseball. I mean, I can do that. But we do have Bobby Harrison talking about tax cuts and whatnot. We got Scott Morris reviewing Inferno. Sounds like a good movie. Just because it's called Inferno. Who's in that, Derek?
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Well, that's right. It's part of the.
It's the Dan Brown trilogy.
So maybe it's not that good. then we've got Derek.
You just love naysaying things.
Derek has the scene section update, what's going on in the region this weekend. Who's sponsoring us today, guys? Is it South?
That would be South, a locally owned restaurant on North Gloucester Street offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere.
Nice.
The
former Shoney's building.
I could have gone for some Shoney's after that game last night. That would have just topped it off for me.
Yeah, I'm sure your stomach was in a good state to handle Shoney's food. All right, well, we've got a good show today. And again, happy for you Cubs fans. That said, I hope the Cardinals win it next year, but I think the way the Cubs are set up, that probably won't happen.
You're just happy you got to live to see another day. Well,
we can add this. It's been 108 years since the Cubs won back-to-back World Series. 1907, 1908, 2016, 2017.
There you go. So
it's a good-looking pendant. Just the beads down there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we should get things going, Derek. Let's go down to Jackson. Welcome in Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison to the program. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
All right, sir. I want to talk about this this plan or this proposal by the state's Democrats there in the Senate wanting to repeal what is the largest tax cut in state history. It's, I guess in today's dollars, it's going to be about $415 million worth of cuts phased in over the next, seven, 8 years until 2024. And Bobby, they're kind of wanting to divert these funds to infrastructure, right? So that's kind of the gist of it.
Yeah, they say their math is if you repeal that over a 20-year period, that would generate about $6 billion for road and bridge repairs and maintenance and construction, which that everyone seems to agree that the state needs a major infrastructure project. No one can, or at least there's not a consensus on how to pay for it. And so this was a group of four Democrats. I'm sure others would sign on to it in this who came up with this proposal. You know, the tax cut was passed during the 2016 session, was sort of the Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves was the chief proponent of the tax cut. And, you know, quite frankly, this is, you know, it's not going to be repealed, but this kind of gets this conversation started. And as it just shows as they go into the 2017 session, you know, you had to sort of put everything together. There's a tax study commission that the Lieutenant Governor and Speaker Philip Gunn have started to kind of look at other tax changes to the state's tax law. And so all this has got to, and somewhere in that change, I'm sure they're looking for some way to raise revenue for roads and bridges. So, and this just shows that there's going to be a lot of disagreement on how to do that.
Yeah, and now this tax cut hasn't taken effect yet. And like you said, Bobby, it's kind of long odds that this will actually happen. If it were to happen, what would be the process? Does it have to deal with it during the next session?
Well, it wouldn't be difficult to do as far as legislation. You just pass a bill to repeal what they did during the 2016 session. And this is a tax cut for businesses on their franchise tax, which the franchise tax is essentially a tax on the business's capital. A lot of businesses don't like it because the tax is levied whether they make a profit or not. But as a Democrat said yesterday, this tax is for more than 90% of the businesses, Brad, they pay less than $1,000 a year. So it's not a huge tax. I mean, for big companies, it's a substantial tax. But for most businesses, it's not a big tax. And then there's a reduction in income tax that would apply to everyone who pays income tax. And then there's a much smaller tax cut for small business owners. The logical thing, right now our road and bridge worker is in Department of Transportation is funded primarily through federal funds and through an 18.4% tax on a gallon of gasoline. And the logical way most states do this is increase the gasoline tax.
Yeah.
But the bigger argument that Democrats are making is these tax cuts that they passed during the 2016 session are going to go mainly to the more affluent people into corporations, and while they want to provide more money for road and bridges, they're not going to be enamored with increasing the gasoline tax, which is going to have it's going to be a more regressive tax that hits poorer people harder. So I mean that's an argument against increasing the gasoline tax, and that's just kind of the sort of snapshot of the
right
why they talk. Everybody agrees that something needs to be done on road and bridges, but the flip side is there's a disagreement on how to get that money to do that.
Yeah, I kind of anticipate my next question that something needs to be done. I mean the problems with a lot of the roads and bridges in this state, it's obvious, and it's kind of I guess getting to the point where it's almost, I don't know if you'd call it an emergency type situation, probably so with some roads and bridges around here. And the problem is nobody can agree on how to do it. But, I guess you have to at least give credit to these Democrats for at least coming up with something, because you haven't really seen many people get specific on how to fix this.
Right, right. And two of the four who signed onto the program first, or the proposal first, are from my area, Senator Hobb Bryan from Amory and Senator Turner.
Angela Turner, yeah.
Angela Turner from West Point had a brain freeze. Sorry about that, Senator Turner. And David Blunt from Jackson and Senator Norwood from Jackson. Those are the four who held a press conference yesterday to make this proposal.
I want to go back a little bit to the gasoline tax, which has been at 18.4 cents per gallon, forever.
Since 87.
Yeah. You would think that would be something that would increase over time. With the value of the dollar changes, inflation, and all that. What's been the main hang-up for that not increasing, and who's for it and who's against it?
It's an excise tax, I guess, if I have my tax terms correct. It's not a sales tax. There is a sales tax on gasoline, I believe. Well, maybe there's not. But what goes to the Department of Transportation is this 18.4 cent tax per gallon. It doesn't matter if a gallon of gasoline costs 30 cents a gallon or it costs $2 or $4 a gallon, the tax is going to be the same. And while there's a lot more cars on the road, I guess, since 87, the cars are much more efficient and people are even not driving maybe as much. So the money is not growing, where most taxes grow over time. Most revenue from tax levies grow over time. This doesn't, because it's just a strict 18.4 cent tax per gallon, and since people are the cars are much more efficient. When I was growing up, I guess cars got had big old 8-cylinder engines and probably got 10 to 15 miles per gallon if you were lucky. But now it's not uncommon for cars to get 30 miles or more per gallon. So
and you got hybrids and electric cars and everything. So people don't need gas as much.
Yeah, and those cars, as technology changes, they're surely going to do something, because they got to be able to generate money from electric cars and those types of things. So at some point, they got to make some changes to the tax on travel, I guess. They had to reconsider how to do that at some point in time.
Right. Well, you know, given that this does have, there are long odds on this actually being repealed, I mean, you still anticipate that the whole infrastructure question will still be kind of a big topic the next session that begins in January?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big, I mean, I think that's going to be one of the primary topics, and it's all going to be, you know, kind of rolled up into one issue as far as, you know, just, I mean, I fully expect that any effort they make to make changes to the tax structure is going to have some mechanism in it to generate more money for roads and bridges. You know, as an aside, during the 2016 session, there was, you know, it was a big issue then and just couldn't reach an agreement. The Senate, the House Transportation Committee Chair Charles Busby had a proposal that he worked with he's a Republican. He worked with a broad base of legislators on that would have generated more money, would have raised the tax on a gallon of gasoline and indexed it some way so it would grow over time. But part of his proposal also would have been reducing the grocery tax, and that's a big deal for a lot of Democrats and other people. You know, Mississippi has.
Yeah.
Mississippi's one of the few taxes, one of the few states that places a sales tax on groceries. And not only do we place a sales tax on groceries, it's as much on groceries as it is on, you know, other items too. So, you know, some people say that's really unfair to poor people. You know, poor people shouldn't have to pay such a large percentage of the income for a gallon of milk, is the argument, I guess. And so that Busby was prepared to come out with that proposal, but he realized as he went along the process, he wouldn't have enough votes to pass it in the House. So he just decided to scrap it and never brought it out of his committee. So you may see some type of back and forth like that this coming session, right, to try to reach a consensus on, because the issue, the problem is that a lot of Republicans may not be in favor of reducing the grocery tax, but then and the Republicans have a supermajority in both chambers. So if they all vote together, they can do what they want to on taxes.
Right.
But there's going to be Republicans who are not going to be willing to raise any taxes, even for roads and bridges. So the Republicans are most likely going to have some help from Democrats. The Republican leadership is going to have some help from Democrats to pass a bill to provide more revenue for roads and bridges. And so that's kind of the quandary they're in.
All right. Well, good stuff, Bobby. As always, you can read Bobby's latest story on this in today's journal and at djournal.com. Bobby, thanks for your time, sir.
All right. Appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget you can look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Locke and Blake Morgan. New episodes release on Wednesday. You can listen to it free on iTunes, podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out Double Coverage Podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen to it for free on iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Quick note for Prep Rally listeners, there was not a podcast this week because of some technical difficulties with the webcast. So if
we did one. It just, yeah, you know, YouTube Live messed it up.
So and for that reason, we're probably going to be moving to a podcast only for a bit until YouTube Live works out its bugs or maybe permanently. But so just obviously don't be looking for the webcast. Look for us in the podcast, and we should be back next week and going forward.
We've heard your request. We're trying to get Brad Locke's face off the internet as much as possible. Now it's time for today's news memo. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. A couple of local restaurants will be serving kale grown by local elementary students. Carver Elementary planted 6 raised beds at the beginning of the school year filled with baby kale, broccoli, cabbage, radish plants, and other veggies. On Wednesday, they harvested the kale, which was purchased by restaurants South and Kermit's Outlaw Kitchen. The garden began with a senior project by 2 Tupelo High students in May, and thanks to a grant from the Association for Excellence in Education, the garden was able to be expanded. Students work in the garden on a rotating schedule. This is part of the Tupelo Public School District's Growing Healthy Waves program, which works with food corps to promote nutrition and farm-to-school activities. Carolyn Beasley, garden sponsor and physical education teacher at Carver, said seeing their crops made into side dishes at local restaurants brings the garden full circle for students. Hamp Hughes, owner of South, said he plans to purchase from the Carver Garden throughout the school year.
The city of Baldwin will soon begin a major upgrade of its sewer system thanks to $8.8 million in federal funding. The project will include rehabilitation work, new equipment, and expansion of new lines into certain neighborhoods. Baldwin Mayor Michael James said the city will be able to add new customers, namely people inside the city limits who have been using septic tanks. According to U.S. Senator Thad Cochran, the project will be funded by a $3.1 million grant and a $5.6 million low-interest loan through the Rural Development, Water, and Environmental programs. James said engineers are working up plans, and the next step is to bid out the project, which will likely start next spring and be completed in 3 to 4 phases. This project is separate from the Sand Creek Regional Wastewater Authority project that hopes to connect the municipal systems of Baldwin, Guntown, and Saltillo to one large treatment plant in Saltillo.
Ashley employee Jeff Smith won the special election for mayor of Ecru on Tuesday night. Unofficial results Tuesday night showed Smith with 101 votes to interim mayor Glenn Denton 65. The votes were certified Wednesday, and Smith will be sworn in today. Smith is filling the unexpired term of Mark Baldwin, who resigned in September.
Tupelo Mayor Jason Shelton announced this week that Marcus Gary has been named the city's community outreach coordinator. Shelton recently created the new position. Its goal is to promote the city's efforts to develop strong relationships, particularly across racial lines. Gary is a graduate of Tupelo High School as well as Itawamba Community College and the University of Memphis. He leaves a position as assistant general manager of Tupelo's Hilton Garden Inn.
While cooler weather isn't here yet, it won't be long before you can return to the ice floor of the Bancorp South Arena. Public skating returns to the arena on November 26th and will last through January. Admission is $10 per person, includes skate rental. Season skate passes are available for 10 sessions at $80. For birthday or private party information, you can call 662-841-6573. The full schedule of ice skating dates and times is available online at bcsarena.com. Scott Morris joining us on this Thursday to discuss the third in a trilogy of Ron Howard, Dan Brown, Tom Hanks.
Ron Howard attached his name to this
train wreck.
He directed all three of them. He was the director.
Well, he just wanted to. Opie Cunningham.
I think he wanted to go have some nice food in Florence. I think that's maybe it.
Inferno is kind of
where they get that from. So you learn a little bit about Dante.
Is it about this election and next Tuesday? No? Inferno?
No, but it is about worldwide destruction.
Well, same thing.
It is about a plague.
About a plague. A plague upon all their houses.
This is the third following Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons, which I never saw.
You know, I went and looked to see what I said about Angels and Demons, and it's pretty much what I say about this.
Yeah.
As long as you don't think about it too much, as long as you don't... You don't start asking questions, inappropriate questions, which you'll have a good time. And while I was sitting there watching it, it's like it's somewhat fast-paced. It moves around. And so it's like, you know, that wasn't horrible. That wasn't really a bad movie. And I was somewhat entertained. And then when I was out walking to the car, but it's like, but why did he do this? And I'm not going to say what this is because that would be a spoiler.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah.
Don't hit the pinata too much.
But why did he do this? And my dad saying, "You're right, son. We didn't even have to have a movie."
This could have all been cleared up in the first 10 minutes.
This could have been cleared up if just the one guy had done what basically... Anyway, so I'm kind of... There's like two movies. One, we're like, you're rushing through. I mean, you got to get the adrenaline going, and there's like twists and turns, you know? But everybody has to look the wrong way. So Langdon and his female counterpart, De Jure, who is Felicity Jones here, so they can escape. The secret passageway has to work. Things have to work for. But that's a thriller that happens in all thrillers.
That's Tom Hanks's life. Things just work.
They just work for him. Mm-hmm. Like Zoltan, making him 30 years younger now.
I'm David Pumpkins, man. Sorry.
Any questions?
That's what he should every time he opened a new trap door, a new secret escape. Any questions?
I've seen that. I tell you what, thank goodness Tom Hanks has done that to kind of revive his reputation, because David S. Pumpkins and his performance in the Black Jeopardy has elevated him back to like the pantheon.
Well, he's got a great comedic sense. You don't see that as much these days, maybe.
He doesn't do as much comedy as he...
I think
The Burbs is still one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah. With him and...
Well, he had to apologize for a bunch of bad comedies when he when he on the first day on the set at A League of Their Own, mm-hmm. Penny Marshall made him apologize for his bad comedies, and so he may have a bad taste in his mouth from that. From that,
Felicity Jones about to blow up. She'll be in the new Star Wars movie, so she's got two back to back. Hank's had two back to back.
Is she the one Sully? Who rebels? Because she's a rebellion.
She's the one who rebels.
So I rebel.
I rebel.
Yeah. I don't know. I give it a C minus. I could probably go lower, but I mean, to be fair, I was kind of somewhat entertained throughout. But then it's also got some stuff that's like, what? So I'm not really going to recommend this to anybody.
It's hard not to. It's hard to go against Tom Hanks. You want to root for him.
Exactly. And you know, also there's a type of storytelling ability to where you can like get a lot of things right while other things are wrong.
Yeah.
So you can still like there's even the end like you kind of knew what's going to happen at the end, but they kept throwing new things at you. And I thought it was kind of, I was like, oh, I'm twisting in my seat. I hope they win. You know, I kind of suspected they would.
Yeah.
Because
this was it. They kill Langdon in the last exactly. Right after the credits. Langdon dies.
You know, you kind of assume that the good guys are going to win out, but at the same time, it's still a little. I get kind of twisted in my seat.
Well, and they end up doing these out of order because Angels and Demons is the first book, isn't it? I think. Or it actually takes place before Da Vinci Code, and this is like the fifth book.
I'm not a Dan Brown scholar.
It was not too long ago that I actually watched Da Vinci Code for the first time. I never got swept up in it.
Yeah, me either.
Mr. Catholic, was a big fan of the Da Vinci Code over there. That's a thumbs down from our Catholic reviewer.
Yeah, the Catholic reviewer probably didn't like Angels and Demons. There's a lot of...
I haven't seen either of them.
Well, I don't even remember the plot of that one. That had to do with the Illuminati. Well,
yeah, but it's like it was. I think Catholic priests or cardinals or somebody, Catholics were getting killed. Catholic officials were getting killed, and we had to solve it in specific ways, and the crime had to be solved, something like that.
They'll bring you in with a good story. The payoff's just not always there.
Well, this one had a good story, just a weird gaping hole in the middle that you had to step around. But not until I was on the way to the car. No, I mean, I didn't realize it. It's like two movies, the one I watched and the one I thought about.
You got out in the light of day.
Well, what's been interesting is we've seen a few lately, like The Girl in the Train was one that prized thinking about after or rewarded thinking about it later. And so we've seen some movies like that. Also like The Light Between Oceans, mm-hmm. that movie was one to where there were parts of it were like, I might want to just go somewhere else, but since I had to sit through it and then I left, it's like, oh, wow, things kind of fell into place. So a lot to think about. And this one, if you think about it, things fall out of place.
Yeah, they fall apart on you. Yeah. But Scott, thanks for joining us today. It's playing, where did you say it was playing?
It's playing at the Malco as well as, I believe it's also at, no, it is at the, it's at the Malco in Tupelo.
All right. And, check it out, Inferno. You can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news and sports and weather and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. It's another product we release here at the Daily Journal, as well as Capital View, which is where Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Mondays at 2 or catch the replay later in the day. We want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. There's always something going on at South, including their cheap date night, trivia nights, and live music every week. So check that out. It's also home to the only Bellini Mimosa Bar in Tupelo on Saturdays. Check out South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
All right, Derek, tell us what's going on in the entertainment world in Northeast Mississippi.
Well, if you're an art lover, you could go down to the Gumtree Museum today for the opening of their Coastal Flora exhibit.
Flowers. Flowers are pretty.
Flowers.
I like flowers.
It's going to make the Gumtree Museum very pretty through the holiday season, although it still feels like summer outside, so, you know, it's debatable. Yeah. But, check that out. The artists are going to be on hand. There's a story in today's scene section of your Daily Journal. It's also on the front page there. The reception starts at 5:30 p.m. You can call 844-2787 for more information on that. Always live music going on. Friday, Heathen Sons will be at the Blue Canoe, 9:30 p.m. 269-2642 for more information there. If you like anime, Japanese culture.
I don't, but
you know, okay, all right. Well, some people do. The Tupelo Anime Getaway starts Saturday at 9 a.m. at the Summit Center on North Gloucester Street. The event is a celebration of all things anime. Registration is $10 at the door. More information there, tupelo.animegetaway.com. TCT, always something going on in local community theater. Their next show, Company, opens next weekend at TCT Off-Broadway. That is a big collaborative show. It's a big ensemble musical. So that's our main story for today. It's going to be November 10th through 12th, 7:30 p.m. Off-Broadway is located on Franklin Street behind the Bancorp South Arena. Tickets are $20 for that, $10 for students, and it is not recommended for children due to content. So you can't go, Brad.
Aww. Dang it.
Sorry.
Whatever.
I do what I want.
I got to say some bad words in the Peacemakers, sort of.
I really wanted you to shave that thing.
Beard?
Yeah.
Well, again, I told you I would. I mean, I've shaved it before. I shaved it about this time last year and regretted it immediately, but, you know, I can grow it back pretty quick.
You look like a giant toddler when you do it.
Nah, I really do. I look like I'm back in high school.
Yeah.
Because I have a baby face.
Terrifying. Now you don't have a baby face.
Yeah, I kind of do.
Chris?
I don't know.
Chris, you want to weigh in on this?
I wouldn't call it a baby face.
I got these cherubic cheeks here, man. I got dimples and everything.
You mean chubby?
You could call it that. I prefer the term cherubic.
I prefer you not to take me down a few notches. Come on, look at me. I can say that about me. It's fine. I'm chubby. Husky.
Husky. That's a good word. Husky.
So, that's what's going on this weekend.
Cool.
Check it out.
Yes. That's it for the show, huh?
It is it for the show, Bradley.
And this show...
We're done till Monday.
This show is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant.
It is.
Offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Try their cheap date night every Tuesday. Get two meals for the price of one. Get you salads, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25.
I've gone several times and done that myself. Just get both meals and eat them both.
Just by yourself?
For the price of one.
Going on a date with myself.
It's a pretty good deal. You can't pass that up.
Yeah. I mean, twice the alcohol. Ham
sees me coming. He's like, he signals the kitchen. He's like, Russell's here.
Get it going, the regular. Okay.
Get two of each prepared. Bring the biscuits.
I want two date night specials. No, but it comes with two. Exactly.
Exactly.
That would be four meals.
The Cubs just won the series. I'm celebrating.
Where's my steak? All right, we're off till Monday.
All right, well, Derek, go bask in the glory of the Cubs. Long-awaited victory.
I think I will. I think I'll enjoy it.
Take the rest of the day off.
Okay.
I don't know why you showed up.
All Party right. like it's 1908.
I don't know why Justin showed up.
It's going to just be a whole lot of flapper girls. And,
go down to the speakeasy.
Yeah.
That's before Prohibition, though, right?
It was, yeah.
So
yeah.
You're still good.
Until 20, so we're fine.
Okay. Cool.
I'm going to go ride a horse.
They had cars back then, didn't they?
That was the year of the Model T. That's one of the stats by 1908.
Drive you a Model T.
Yeah.
Down to the speakeasy. Did they have speakeasies back then, or was that more of the 40s kind of thing?
I guess they wouldn't have had it because it was before Prohibition, right?
Yeah, that was after
getting Prohibition. My periods mixed up there, time periods mixed up.
Yeah, nobody knows much about 1908.
Really, you don't?
It's time is lost. It's
something about the 1900s, just not that...
Teddy Roosevelt.
Do what?
I said Teddy Roosevelt. True. That's about all I...
But just not much distinctive.
Let's just put this in
not
perspective.
Much distinctive
Let's
about
just that. Put this in perspective for a second. The Titanic had not sank yet.
Right.
The last time.
Okay. At least the 19-teens had that and the arrival of Babe Ruth.
Thomas was talking this morning about he and Wesley watching the game, him putting in perspective for Wesley, and he said that it was... Wesley said, that's around World War One. He said, no, that's way before World War One. The Civil War had only ended 50 years before that.
Yeah.
Civil War people were still alive. Civil War veterans were still alive last time the Cubs had won the World Series.
I forget what president they were showing last night in one of the commercial breaks. They said we're closer to the presidency of this individual than we are to
George
today.
Washington.
No, it wasn't Washington. I don't remember who it was.
It would have been whoever was president in the early 1800s. So yeah. It could have been like, I'm trying to remember now. I've forgotten who was president back then.
But yeah, I think that's sure. Yeah, the Titanic was being built. Let's just put it on that perspective.
James Madison.
It's crazy. You know, there has to be somebody out there who was actually alive in 1908 when they won the series and is still kicking. I mean, it's 108 years. People do live that long. Oldest person in the world. I mean, it changes constantly, but it's been like recently. Last I saw, it was like somebody's 110, 111. Mm-hmm. So there's probably somebody out there. Maybe. I mean, not that they would remember the series, yeah. No way.
They weren't airing it on Fox back then.
No. It's funny, the last time they won it, there was no radio. There was no TV.
There was radio.
In 08?
Yes.
I think they came along till later, like the 20s.
There was radio.
I don't know. It wasn't widespread, though, was it? Were they I don't think the first Major League game was broadcast on radio until like the 20s. Certainly not until the teens.
I think it was a Cincinnati Reds game was the first, like in like 1920. That number sticks
then
in my
last
mind.
Right. And then now the next time they win it, I'm watching it on my smartphone.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy, man.
I don't know.
Crazy. All right, well, that's it for this show. That's all the Cubs talk we'll have for you. I'm sure Monday we'll move on to other
things. Right, 1916 on radio. So.
There you go. So you had to actually be there, basically.
Newspapers, very big deal back then.
They were.
Still today. I'm sure everybody's going to go out and get a copy of the Tribune today.
That's the thing about newspapers. A big event like this, you can't go to, I mean, you could go to print out a web page and post it on your fridge, but that's just not the same.
Yeah. I've got them. I think y'all may have seen them before, but and we've got them hanging up in Daniel's room now. But from each of the three Giants championships, I got the San Francisco Chronicle and got it framed.
That's cool.
2010, 12, so and 14.
I might have to get a Tribune.
Yeah.
Do that. Newspapers. Read them. Read ours. Buy it, please. Okay.
There's your pitch.
Also, listen to the podcast every time we put one out. You can find out when a new one drops, a new episode drops, by subscribing to us in iTunes or any of those podcast apps if you don't have an iPhone. You can also stream it at memo.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalmemo. I'm on there as well at Brad Locke. Derek's at W. Derek Russell. Chris is at Chris Kiefer. All right. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll see y'all on Monday.